You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Hour 2, Mino and the Mayor. We got a great lineup today, and not only am I one of the hosts, kind of the minor host today, we have Connie Feldman and Vanessa Moran that are helping us out because Johnny's off today. So thank you again, ladies, for being here. And we got this Scotty Summer.
I was Scotty yesterday.
You know what this is? It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win Statewide Contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer Club level tickets or $100 cash. Plus every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a Wisconsin Dells area vacation or a Door County vacation.
And this hour's keyword is WAVE. W-A-V-E. WAVE. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores, choose WISS or WGBW, and use the text button to send the keyword WAVE for your chance to win.
All right.
And this hour, you are playing for $100 cash. That's $100, people. And the keyword again is WAVE. You have till the end of the hour.
Good luck. Just download the app like we talked to you about and send in the word WAVE, W-A-V-E, and you can win the $100. So we are on to a... interesting guy.
Yeah.
Scott McPherson. I know he's a good friend of yours, Connie.
He is.
But he's an educator for, 30 years, did you say?
Yes, that's
pretty
correct.
Close.
Yep, I'm in Denmark at the elementary school, fifth grade.
Awesome. Aww.
Been there, love it. It's such a great community, great school district. Super happy to be there, and thanks for having me in today.
You bet.
Fifth grade?
Yep,
fifth grade. Shout out to Mr. McPherson's kids.
Oh.
All right.
Who are quite the media
They're
kids
all sleeping
themselves.
Right now. It's summer break for us.
Are
you guys already on summer break?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I know that some schools in De Pere are still going.
Yeah. Green Bay. Yeah. Howard's Farm. Yeah.
Yep. So we're
one
done.
One week. So, but you have all this experience and you're taking that and something that's very popular right now and growing pretty much every day are podcasts. People connect with something, some subject or some issue, and they listen to the podcast when they're driving. And the beautiful thing about podcasts, you can listen to when you want. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think that's cool. You just type it in. You are considering that with education, or tell me about what your ideas are.
Every day you get together with other teachers and you just talk about things that happened in your classroom, steal ideas from them, what they've heard about. And I know that there are some humorous educational podcasts out there because there's some things that the kids do during the day that make you laugh and scratch your head. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to just, instead of just meeting with somebody in the staff lounge or in the hallway, let's just sit here and record ourselves talking about it. So today I'm actually on a little bit of an adult field trip. I'm staring at your microphones and I'm looking at your boom mics, figuring out how this could possibly work in my basement.
Oh, this would
fantastic.
Be great.
I love it.
Because there's so much to talk about. And the working title might be the staff lounge.
Mm-hmm. And that's cool.
Scott just mentioned this to me in passing last weekend. And of course I thought, hey, guess what? Want to be on the radio?
Yeah, thanks for having me. There are so many different teachers at a school, you know, from your Phi Ed teachers to your librarians to your reading specialists to your classroom teacher. They have so many different insights into what can help a kid and a parent. And that, I think my concept for the podcast would definitely be for other teachers to take ideas from what we have said.
Beg, borrow, and steal from the best.
Right? And for parents, too, because... so much in education today is a moving target with new curriculums that are coming to us. One of the catchphrases in the last few years is new math, trying to help folks figure what that is.
It's different. It's everything. Yeah, it's different. It's not the same. If you were in a classroom 10, 20, 30 years ago, it's, you know, you want to think at things, but kids are different.
My
the world
first
is
classroom
different.
Did not have a phone. I can remember one of my claims to fame was one of the first grants I wrote for my first elementary school in Bay City, Michigan, was for a digital camera.
Ooh, wow.
Mm. I mean, we can all remember
high
tech
stuff. I do.
Before your phone was, well, when your phone was just a phone.
Yeah.
What about AI? I mean, at the fifth grade level, is AI an issue for students? I know it is in college, even high school.
If you don't bring it up with the kids, they don't necessarily talk about it. And I try not to bring it up with them because I don't want them to explore it. Because I think at that age, at 10 and 11, it's so important for them to develop their own voice, their own thoughts, their own concepts, versus having social media, AI, telling them what they should think and how they should act.
Absolutely.
So with this podcast, eventually you're going to need to monetize it. You're going to have to get an advertiser, and I don't know if it's going to be what it would be, school supplies or Pepsi. I'm not sure what you're going to get. But you kind of answered my question a little bit. I thought it was just for teachers to join, but you say parents are going to want to listen in as well?
Yeah, I think that would be a great it would be a great resource for parents to learn how important it is to read. I think one of the most important things for students is just being there. Just
parent
being
involvement.
To school, yeah, not being absent. Mm-hmm. Just being in the classroom.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's the easy one.
Yeah.
Well, now it gets tricky when you try to multiply a fraction, but if you're just there. Because the kids need to learn how to communicate from school to home. And if they're not at school, then they don't bring the information to home, and then parents miss information on field trips, on events happening at school.
It happens to me all the time. Mm-hmm. So you know what's funny when you talked about multiplying fractions? So I taught fourth grade.
Okay.
And
amen.
I loved it. I love this age and that age, the fifth grade as well, because they're young enough where they still love you, but old enough where you can do some really cool things like multiplying fractions and converting fractions to decimals and all those things. And I'll never forget, my water broke. While I was teaching, converting fractions to decimals, and I was at the end of my pregnancy, so it wasn't a bit with my son, and he was a troublemaker from the very beginning. So of course my water would break right at school, and I remember my principal coming up and being like, "You need to leave," and I'm like, "No, I am not leaving. I am teaching multiplying or converting fractions to decimals. This is too important. I will leave at the end of the day," and I did. And she paced back and forth between in the hallway, just watching. I am fine. It will be okay. And it
you
wasn't
need to
like
find a common denominator.
Yeah. Counting.
No, honestly, I was timing my contractions. And I'm like, I'm okay. I got this. No big deal.
What a learning experience for those kids.
It was wild.
I tell you what, being a male at an elementary school too, I've got maybe 27 staff members there, and me, two Phi Ed teachers, a couple of support staff, but I can feel you because most of the people I teach with are females, and there's a time every once in a while where there's a sign on the door because somebody's in the room pumping.
So I was not going to leave. It was too important.
That's
and
just
I was
an
fine.
Example of the dedication of our teachers.
Or
let's talk about male teachers. And there was a time, I think it was under, Clinton's watch, where they were going to pay male teachers in difficult areas more money. Because, I don't know, do the kids relate better? Tell me.
Sometimes I do get lucky with students who need that father figure. That's all I have different than somebody next to me. And I teach with amazing teachers who are way better than I am. But just because I'm a guy, some boys do respond differently to that. Yeah. And I don't mind talking about basketball with them, talking about football with them. I've started something in the last 5 years where I do a football talk at lunch. We have lunch together, and just whoever wants, it's not just a boy exclusive thing. Right. Whoever wants to sit and talk about the Packers, the Chiefs, Taylor Swift. We just have a chat, look at the stats, talk about who's leading the league and rushing. And it just helps for those boys to connect with me. And sometimes then they do not misbehave in the hallway.
Nice.
Or do not get in trouble at recess just because of that. So I can understand that. Although I don't feel like I need to be paid more because of that. I do feel like there is something to be said for that, having males on the staff.
You know, the other thing Scott does, which is really cool, when I was at Channel 5, he would bring his class in, and we would give him a tour of the studio. But the neat thing about these kids, they were doing like a newscast at school. And they knew all about, there were camera kids, there were host kids. It was a really cool thing.
Yeah, that's the Daily Buzz, our morning news show. Yeah. Imagine all these 10-year-olds sitting around with their fancy cameras and their microphones. And then we have our guidance counselor, Jocelyn Ellert, giving what's going to be for the lunch. And these kids are running the whole show. It's hilarious. Really cool.
That's so great that how this is advanced in education. We're talking with Scott McPherson. He is an educator in the Denmark school system that is taking some of his knowledge and really thinking how can he get it out to other people. We're exploring podcasts. Before we jump to that, I want to talk. We'll get back to truancy. What's the answer to that? Because in Green Bay, we experienced, when I was there, it was unbelievably high, like 40%. Can you imagine that? 40% of the kids not being there?
It's
better now. But
I had no idea.
We had sent the, and it's funny because my, Notre Dame, it's like three strikes and you're out. Because I said, what's your truancy rate here? Because we don't have it. But, that's just maybe the difference. But we had sent school resource officers, kind of policemen, but really school resource SROs, to the home, knocking on the door. And, your kid's supposed to be in school. And the parents are like, well, you go get them. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a challenge because I feel bad for the kid missing school, but I feel bad for the kids that's there. And then the teacher may start over. You know what I mean? Because you want to learn. I want to hear what you think about truancy. And then I want to also talk about kids aren't all the same. I mean, you're fourth graders. You say fourth grade or fifth grade. There's some kids that are challenged. There's a lot of kids that are in the middle. But there's some gifted kids that can get as bored as the kids that don't show up, like 18%. So that's why we built this Da Vinci School, which is for the gifted and talented. Yeah. It's just a little higher paced. So tell me, I wanted to hear what's your answer to truancy?
Oh, if I had that answer, that'd be great. But you've already mentioned one of the big things is that resource officer or somebody to go contact with those parents just to let them know this is a thing. And we notice when your kid's gone, we notice that in the classroom.
I used to tell them, I missed you. Mm-hmm. I missed you. It wasn't the same without you here. Because, you'd see it even in the elementary grade levels, middle, high school. So for me, the answer is twofold. One is you make sure the parents understand how important it is and that, they're a part of the school community. We need them there. Mm-hmm. The place isn't the same without them, and making sure the parents understand the value. The second is making the kids want to be there.
Yeah.
Like providing an environment they want to be there. And
the connection is so important. Yeah, if you can, as a teacher, connect with your students, let them know that you see them, you value them, and you said it. Just, we missed you while you were gone.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Scott, because we have a couple minutes here, and there's a bit of a misconception. Denmark is out of school for the summer. Green Bay's got just a couple more days. Mm-hmm. So what is the misconception about teachers during the summer? What do you guys do during the summer?
Yeah, we just get our 3 months off. Well, for me personally, I'll be teaching summer school. So that is a thing that I'll be doing through the month of June. But for sure, my classroom has to be emptied. And the kids just left, so the homework is still floating from the ceiling down to the recycling can. But I have to the custodians at school do 95% of the work, but I have to pack up all the books. I have to pack everything up so they can move my classroom to the hallway to clean it. And that's been at multiple schools I've taught at. That's how they run it. And then in August, I have to put that all back. So every book that came off the shelf has to go back in its logical place.
Literally,
so that way
every desk, every chair,
so
every shelf gets moved.
Yeah, just laying around the pool all summer long on your 3 month vacation.
You have to give yourself permission to decompress, though, as a teacher.
Oh, for sure.
Because you need it. It's the only time you can just take a load off.
You know, what's so funny is I need some time to decompress from producing this show.
Right.
Give me a bell on that, Vanessa.
Okay,
thank you.
Scott, we come back. I want to talk a little bit more about the things that you think parents should know through your podcast, because they can't come to school every day. And so let's just talk about what you think would be the most important things on your podcast for people to tune into. We'll be right back. This is Connie Feldman, Vanessa Moran, and Jim Schmidt, Mind on the Mayor.
I was smoking with the boys upstairs when I heard about the whole affair.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I was waiting for schools out for summer.
All right, welcome back, everybody.
That'll be coming up.
Awesome.
We are here talking really education is the umbrella of it. We have Scott McPherson in here, who's an educator in Denmark. And before we went to break, on a couple things. One is truancy, and I think that should be in your podcast because that's a concern. It's a concern for parents whose kids are in school every day because the truant kids show up and then the teacher may have to go rehash something. It's not fair to the kid that's there. So I think that's going to be an interesting episode on your podcast. And then we're also talking about when it comes to fourth grade. Do you, there's some countries that will put these kids like on a track and say, look, I was at a conference one time and a lady got up and talked, you know who she is, about fourth grade reading test scores, fifth grade reading test scores, whatever, fourth or fifth, and that they can plan how many technical college desks they're going to need, how many college desks they're going to need, and to the point where she felt you could forecast the number of prison beds you're going to need based on these fourth, fifth grade test scores. I just want to say that I think there's some validity to that. Only because people get all freaked out when Johnny's in 10th grade, he's not going to graduate. Well, we kind of knew back in 5th grade.
We really did.
You know, so
we did.
Tell me about, and you, that's a pivotal grade you're teaching.
For me, when I was in 6th grade, a group of people sat around and awarded me the shyest camper at Camp Unalaya. Love Camp Unalaya.
Are you kidding?
From 5th grade on, now I'm sitting with you folks, chatting, just having a great time. I realized that if you don't like step out and let people hear your opinions, your thoughts, that's how they see you. So many kids who are just 9, 10 years old, fourth grade test scores, that is, you cannot determine too much what people are going to be. Now, there are some kids who maybe need some more parental involvement. And that's one of the issues that I think is very important to discuss, too, is having parents involved in a child's life, especially with social media. That was one thing we didn't really hit too much on today.
We got time. I want to talk. Let's talk about the parental involvement because tell me,
if the parents aren't involved, somebody is going to be raising your child, be it their friends or things that they see online, because they need guidance. Kids need parameters in the world. They need to know where the yeses come from, where the noes come from, who to trust with their decisions that they're making. And if they think it's a great idea to stay out too late and no one's telling them, well, your body actually needs rest. You're still growing. You haven't matured enough to make some of those choices. The frontal lobe hasn't developed enough for these kids.
Do you think that
parents need to be there?
Do some parents rely a little too heavily on teachers to set those boundaries, to set those guidelines to raise their kids?
Yeah, and sometimes parents, they're not sure how to help with something. Like I've talked about math before, the kind of tongue-in-cheek joke about new math, but it is hard for some parents to remember if they haven't needed those math skills to divide a fraction divide decimals in years and years. It's hard for them to figure that out. And I think a lot of parents talk about new concepts in math. We haven't really changed how we've been teaching math at the elementary school level greatly, but it's developmental. So we have to do some of these things to help develop their skills and their number sense and their concepts. So that way, when they do get older, things like algebra, geometry.
What about the parent that, so when my kids were young, I would always read a chapter or two ahead so they thought I was smart. But it got to the point where I was not a bad student, but I was not a great student, where I'm like, you got to call. My brother was like super smart, right, at National Honor Society and all that. I'm like, I think it was 6th, 7th grade. I'm like, you got to call Uncle Tom because I'd read it and I really wouldn't get it, especially some of that when you get an advanced math or whatever, geometry, trigonometry.
Especially or reading. Like you're talking about reading things, so, advanced concepts.
But what about, I feel bad for those parents who want to help, but I don't get this stuff. What's your advice?
Yeah, contact the school. Chat with the teachers, see how they can help. Because teachers have a lot of toolkits, a lot of tools in their toolkit that they can give you. Communication back and forth, how to study, what that looks like. I can remember telling my fifth graders, we're going to have to study for this test. And one of the kids asking questions is so great. One of the kids raised their hand and asked, what does that mean to study?
Well,
okay, yeah, that's good.
Let's dive into this.
That's our next lesson, is what that means to study.
Well, I,
here's say hello to a note card.
I have to tell you, I'm really appreciating this conversation on parental involvement because I just texted my son and reminded him to brush his teeth.
There you go.
Well, and I found, we were talking about parental involvement, I found when I went to parent-teacher conferences, because I didn't understand a lot of the stuff, but I just showed up at parent-teacher conferences, and the teachers were really appreciative that the parents took time, and they would explain anything I needed. And just going there and having a conversation with your kid's teacher, I found was so valuable.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to think every parent wants their kid to be successful.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's just tough.
But
it
just gets a little
and
tough.
Success is different for every family too, because you talked about your older brother. That his success maybe isn't getting a B+. Like that success is different than maybe what you or I would experience. Like some of the kids, if we can just get through this concept, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. All I know is he was never elected mayor. So that's
I think one of my biggest ahas
makes
was
three times as much as I ever did.
Nice.
So, but anyway, you're right. You got to define success. But I think again, we talked. I want one of your podcasts definitely on this truancy. But then this parental involvement to a struggling parent, and I just I want to defend some of these parents because they've come and said that to me, and I'm like, you know what? I gave him the right advice because I said, you know, actually I gave him two pieces of advice. One is talk to a teacher, but do you have somebody else who's smarter than you that can help? And I didn't word it like that.
Yeah.
But somebody else who's
build the community. Build the community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. Right. It's tough being a parent.
Couple more.
Jim's
can you stick around?
Podcast.
No, I'd love to.
All right, good. We're going to stick around for a little while. I want a couple more things on your podcast that I think should, I'd like to see.
He's
going to
tell you how to do the podcast, which is how Jim does things.
No, Todd's going to help you do it. I'm going to get the listeners so we can monetize it. So we'll get working on this.
There you go.
Got to have it. All right, we'll be right back. Connie, Vanessa, Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
And don't forget, you've got until 8 o'clock to play Scotty's Summer Text to Win statewide contest. This hour's keyword is WAVE, W-A-V-E. You want to text in right now for your shot at $100 and qualify for some great Wisconsin vacation getaways. Mino and the Mayor continues in just a bit.
Summer.
All right, it's Scotty Summer. Come on, Lillian, listen up, everybody. This is important. It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer Club level tickets or $100 cash. Plus, every entry puts you into one of our grand prize drawings of a Wisconsin Dells area vacation or a Door County vacation.
Did you hear that? $100 cash daily. This hour's keyword is WAVE, W-A-V-E. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores and choose WISS or WGBW. Use the text button. Come on, let's see those texts. Text the keyword WAVE for your chance to win $100 or vacation.
And remember, $100 cash this hour. The keyword again is WAVE. You have until the end of the hour, people. Get those texts in and good luck.
And the reason why we want them, just to be clear, is because Jim and John are playing contest with the other morning shows and Civic Media.
Yep.
And
so they need to get as many as possible. Otherwise, they will be fired.
Right.
Give me a bell on that.
All right, there we go.
And hey, that's our plan all time.
Yeah, sure. Right.
These two guys didn't
have a succession plan.
Yeah.
But those of you who aren't watching us.
Yeah, let's get Mino Mayor up.
Those of you who aren't watching on video, I'm on bended knee. We need you to text in today. And it's easy to do and just, again,
can I text
the word is WAVE. Yes, absolutely. Yes. I can't, but the WAVE. So, all right, let's do this. We got to get this thing going. We're going to mention another time. You got till 8 o'clock, so it's 7:36. We're here with a interesting, not just an educator, but cares more about his fifth graders, cares a lot about his fifth graders, but really wants to get the word out to the community, to parents, to other teachers on, you know, the things that we need to be doing right to get these kids advanced. And we talked about truancy, which I think is a big issue. And we're also talking about our kids set when they're in fifth grade. And you're saying, no, they're not. I mean, these kids have a great opportunity. You can get to fifth grade and be struggling a little bit and run into somebody
so
like you.
Yeah, so many times. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. The best equalizer for me as an educator is just having wisdom to see that I've had kids leave my classroom in fifth grade, go to the middle school and really excel there and go to the high school and excel even more, if it's in sports or academics, because not every kid is meant to be an A student. Especially in Denmark, we have so many opportunities from archery, wrestling.
The trades.
Yeah, my goodness. Right across the street from the high school, that's what I love about being in Denmark, there's the trap range. And you can hear after school the gunshots going off as kids are doing trap next door. So it's so cool.
And students that participate in extracurricular activities do better academically.
Yeah, you stay involved and then that'll help you for sure.
It's amazing how many programs there are. Like, look at Preble. I mean, I think they got 60 different things you can do. You know, when I was in school, it was pretty much band and sports. But now, you know, it's just...
That's intentional. And that's a lot of teachers putting in a lot of effort to make those things happen.
It's great.
It's often unpaid and a lot of work, but it's you know, it's a passion, not a job. So.
And I think Scott's a great example of how much teachers care and how much of themselves they give to their students and their profession. And even, I remember, as a freshman in high school, I moved around a lot as a little kid. By the time I got to a freshman in high school, I was way behind. And it was one teacher, Mrs. Fenster, my English teacher, that taught me the difference between a noun and a verb at a freshman in high school level.
Yeah.
And I grew up to be a writer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome.
Great story. Yeah.
It's amazing that people we get in here that are 60, 50, 40, whatever, everybody knows a teacher. Yeah. You know, they don't even think about it. Well, let me think about it. Who's your favorite teacher? Let me think about it. Everybody, like, boom, I know this one, that one, grade school, high school.
It's amazing. Band. This morning, even, it's 7 a.m., and I'm getting texts from teachers. Last night, getting texts from, you know, as the end of the school year, I got an email from a principal last night. I'm like, what? It is 8:30 at night. It is 10 o'clock. It is 7 a.m. And they are just, you're always on the go. That's why the summer is so important that they take time to decompress.
Yes, you have to. And I love that story, Connie, because it reminds me that you never know who you're going to impact.
Yes.
Mrs. Fenster may not have ever realized what an impact she had on your life. And then moving forward into your adult career, being a writer and a fantastic podcaster, a radio personality. It's great.
I let her know. I wrote her a letter.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. We love it. Hey, kids, we love it when you write to
you
us
know what
and tell
we,
us.
We should actually do a morning where we just have people, listeners, guests, tell stories about their favorite teacher.
That would be so fun.
That would be great. And we're gonna do a feature on that.
Yeah. Everybody has one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just that everybody. Even kids that struggled a little bit. They still had somebody who, like Connie said, that really believed in them and said, look, you can do this, you know?
That could be an element to your podcast.
Yeah.
I have to say this. One thing about a really good teacher is their passion for whatever they're teaching. Like when they love it.
Oh my gosh.
You can tell.
Whether or not you're good in that subject, you love it too. I had a great English teacher in high school as well, Mrs. Martz, and she loved literature and all that kind of, and she would sit up there and just the way that she would present it was amazing.
Yes.
And then I had a teacher who was a social studies teacher who really hated his job and the difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like she made me love that subject, even though it was not my forte. Yeah.
You mentioned social studies. I think that is the equalizer for me because you can read in social studies. You can write about social studies. You can look at the math, talk about the history of science discoveries. It covers everything. I love social studies. That's my favorite.
Hmm. My daughter's teacher got up on a desk, Mrs. Patrick, and she sang a ballad from Hamilton.
I know Mrs. Patrick.
She's my daughter's
I played
teacher.
In a band with her.
Yeah, it was amazing. Got up on a desk.
Oh,
my
Hamilton.
Daughter came home
there
and she was beaming.
There needs to be a clean version of Hamilton so we could play that in the class.
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
That's amazing.
Hamilton's great.
And all that. But I'm going to go back to when the show started. I'm going to make this connection, so bear with me.
Sure.
We're talking about like today's Bicycle Day, Cedar Day, and it's CPR and AED Day. So we said, some people set a New Year's resolution, I'm going to learn CPR. And it's the year's still going. It's June. But I think they should do that. I think something another, whether it's a New Year's resolution or not, everyone should take like time and write their teacher a letter.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Mm-hmm. Write your teacher a day.
Yeah.
Write your teacher a letter day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Write to your teacher day.
Right.
Yeah.
Because my teachers, a lot of them are in heaven now, right? I mean, but there's still a couple that are around, but that would be, like, I could go to class reunion, they're there, it's cool to see them. But I just hope you guys know, well, you do know how much impact you're making, but how much kids appreciate you. Maybe fifth graders don't say that. Maybe it's not cool for a seventh grader to say, you know, you're, but when they reflect, they look back and they're like, my parents were great, but man, his teacher just really got me.
I've often made a connection to my past students, almost like a girlfriend that's left me, because I can remember in high school, one day dating a girl, the next day not. And, you know, she wouldn't look at you. She wouldn't talk to you. You definitely weren't holding hands or writing notes or anything. Some of my students, when they leave, that is it. Like, they are done. And I'm like, I was there for you. I know that you're playing basketball this weekend. I know your team's traveling. But they all come back, and it's just funny because that's their age level as they go into adolescence at the middle school. But some, they see me at the bus stop, and they smile. I try to get out and see in the community, see what the kids are up to. And it's always nice to get that smile, that high, and especially with graduation just happening, some of those seniors,
on Sunday,
they do show their love.
Oh, on Sunday, I get to hand all of my former students their diplomas. It's been the greatest honor of serving on the school board. It just so happened my very first year on the board was my very first graduating class. And I had no idea being on the board meant you got to defer the diplomas because I'd never been to a graduation ceremony because this was going to be my first class. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I got to actually shake their hands, hand them their diplomas, give them those hugs. And this Sunday, it's my last class of students. I'm going to be a basket case. I'm going to cry. It's so hard. You love them so much. And I cannot wait to see all of them. So, hey, any Bayport students out there that Mrs. Moran in fourth grade, I will be watching for you to walk across stage.
Give her a
high five.
Wait.
Right. Yeah. Handshake, hug, or high five.
How neat.
All right. So we're talking with Scott McPherson, who is an educator in Denmark. And we only got a few minutes here. Talk to me a little bit about a career. Would you advise someone to get into education, and what would you, advice would you give them? I mean,
sorry to interrupt, Jim. There are so many teachers I've heard of, even just this past year, because, well, I guess we're at the end of the year now. That's usually when people decide if they're done with the career or not. And a lot of young teachers do leave the career, which is so sad. It is hard for 25-year-olds to be told by parents that they're not doing a good job, that, that they don't have the support. And you've got to have a thick skin. I can't imagine being a mayor how much thick skin you had to develop over the time.
Wasn't as thick as people thought. But, you know, it's tougher than you think.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Yeah, you cry.
I just want to say that. And that same thing. And parents, I mean, they love their kids, but my daughter's a physician, and that pediatric thing's a little tough too. Because this is what your kid needs to do, and the parents knows better. But you got to deal with that. I'm sad to hear. Good teachers are leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so many, if you can just figure out a support network of veteran teachers that can tell you, listen, that's going to be done. That parent acted the same way with me. Their bark is worse than their bite. They just really love their kid. And I did learn early on in my career, we mentioned this earlier in the show, parents want the best of their kids. And sometimes this is the best they can give you is this child. And this child might not be an A student. They might not be a shining mathlete at this point in their career, but the parent thinks they are. So you always have to approach that carefully. And sometimes being honest is very important, but it's how you present that honesty from a classroom teacher to a parent can matter.
I always tell my students at UWGB. So I teach in the College of Education. So all those young kids, they come right through me and I tell them how it is. I try to be really, really honest, but I also tell them, remember, those kids in your classroom is someone's most precious thing in the entire world. Mm-hmm. So treat them like that and remember that, and that will serve you well.
And be ready for a profession that will suck your time.
Yes.
Because even now I'm thinking, I just kind of alluded that I cleaned a lot of my classroom out. That one bulletin board bugged me all year that I didn't change that one bulletin board. So there's always a way to improve it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have a passion for what you do, and that's why you do it. And that's what comes through, even though it is tough.
I mean, just you think about what we just talked about the last half hour. This podcast, how to deal with difficult parents. I think, and parents, what you're doing is difficult on us. Some parents, you don't know what you don't know, right? And I just think that an education is really, that's the answer to everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that's going to be interesting to listen to how I could learn a little bit, because you really don't go to school and raising a kid's tough, I think. And there's really not a class on it. You learn stuff and your parents have some advice. And it's like, and I just think the more you can learn, even as a parent, the better things are going to be. You know, there'll be a lot of good information on that.
All my high school friends are educators, and we still get together once a year.
Well,
and I'll tell you, it was really eye-opening for me as a parent who's not an educator to hear them talk.
Well,
and just what you were saying, Jim, it really opened my eyes to you know, I thought I was a decent parent. Here's how you can do better. Right. Here's how you can be more involved.
And you got to be open to that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I fail at that every day. It's so hard.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I think this is exciting. I want to get you back on here when you launch your podcast. Oh, Todd can help you do that. But I think people, by word of mouth, it's gonna mm-hmm. grow. But you still got to find an advertiser so you can monetize it.
Gotcha.
Wow. We'll side hustle, that's side the third hustle. Time that's come up this morning. All right.
I think Jim's volunteering.
Yeah, no, I don't know much about that. No, I think this is great. And podcasts, like I said, they're people are so into those. I mean, that's all my kids listen to is podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen to some of them. But yeah, thank you for what you're doing in the education system. And
it's thank you for having me in today. It's an honor.
This is great. All right. So, education. You're going to come here when you're launching your podcast. We are going to promote it, right?
Monetize it.
Jim's going to monetize it
It's just so funny how you take control of everybody's life and it's just.
I just want to help.
Yeah.
I'm here to help.
Yes,
he's
a helper. You are. He's a helper.
I am. All right. Scott McPherson, Denmark educator. Thanks for all you're doing. Enjoy your summer. I know you're working, but enjoy your summer.
You bet.
We're going to be right back with Connie Feldman, Vanessa Moran, and Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
When I want, don't need to say please to no man for a happy tune. Oh, I love my rosy child.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Don't forget, you got till 8 o'clock to get your text in for the Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. A chance this hour to win $100 cash and also go into the grand prize drawing for Wisconsin Dells Area Vacation or Door County Vacation. This hour's keyword is WAVE, W-A-V-E. Get the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose WISS or WGBW. Text the keyword WAVE right now for your chance to win at the statewide contest. You've got till 8 o'clock this morning. Once again, Mino and the Mayor, Jim Schmidt, Connie Feldman, and Vanessa Moran.
All right, people, you heard Todd, so let's get that text in. Yeah. And we've got a special guest on. So Vanessa, as you know, has worked with Feed My Starving Children. Which
many years.
How many years?
Many.
Okay, math is 20. And what that organization does, and we've been there, many of you have been there, you know, helping put the food together, but it's dry food that feeds a family of four, and the food is distributed all over the world. I mean, mm-hmm. you think we need that in the United States, but it really goes all over the world. And it's just anything, those of you who've worked in the nonprofit world, everything costs money.
Yeah.
They have an event coming up, and they brought in top-notch entertainment. I know this guy.
Yeah.
And he is going to put on a concert to help raise money. So yeah. You can go ahead, Vanessa.
So we are just so thrilled. So, Paul, are you on the phone with us right now?
Yeah, hold on. I was just texting WAVE to try and win my there you go. Money for Wisconsin Dells.
I was wondering where you were going with that just for a second.
$100. Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, right. You got 6 minutes there. Get that text in. But no, we... the food costs continue to grow up. Yes, the food is distributed worldwide. We don't have a food production issue in our, you know, globally, we have a food distribution issue. And some of these mana packs go to the most remote locations in the entire world. We say that the packs, and yes, because Jim, you mentioned like, yeah, we need it here in the United States too. And we have some amazing organizations that do things domestically. The food is what we would call not a typical... American palate.
American diet. Okay.
The American palate would maybe not enjoy this food. It is. I've actually tasted it. I think it's quite good. But it's about the nutritional value that's so important, not the taste, right? These are kids that are dying.
And desperately needed. Yes.
So we need to make sure that they have that nutrition to survive and thrive. And the costs continue to go up. And we have a great friend of the organization. My media co-chair is going to be doing a Neil Diamond concert. So, Paul, you want to tell us about that? It's coming up on August 21st.
It is, yes, I believe at St. John's Church. Last year was an inaugural show for us, and we just kind of it was amazing. Obviously, we've got a great board team, but great volunteers as well. And it was kind of a last minute, so to speak, ad considering how thoughtful and planned planners, what kind of planners are on that Feed My Starving Children board. But we brought it together, and it came off. It was great. They had, you know, classic cars there. They had car clubs that, you know, were bringing in cars. People could walk by, talk to the owners, see the cars. We had great food going on. And then, I stepped up to the microphone and did an hour of Neil Diamond hits.
He makes it seem so easy. I just stepped up to the microphone and, you know, just started singing. No, he does. Paul does a great Neil Diamond impersonation and performs with Let Me Be Frank just down the road here.
And what's so cool about
performed in Vegas. Yeah. And
Paul and I, hey, Paul, it's Connie Feldman. We had a brief crossover. We were both at Channel 5. What's interesting to me about Neil Diamond, let me know your thoughts on this, Paul, is I remember Neil Diamond, you know, from the days, but the young people really love Neil Diamond.
Oh, his yes. My daughter sings Sweet Caroline. Yes. Yeah. Paul, tell us about the music you sing. He likes to minimize it. I just step up to the mic.
I grew up, Connie, to your point, I was of the generation that grew up actually listening to when he was still being played, you know, and he was still producing albums. He was a big favorite of my mom's, and that's how I got introduced to the music. But, just recently getting a chance to go see A Beautiful Noise at the Fox Cities Performing Arts Center, it was amazing. It was amazing to me. You know, I thought for sure it was going to be, you know, my age or older, 80% of the crowd. There are a lot of younger people there, and they were digging it. I mean, it was a great show, obviously, but they were singing along to the music. They knew the words. And I think he's just, you know, he's become one of those iconic performers that his music has been used in different occasions. Movies have obviously recently used his music and kind of given some of his songs a resurgence as well amongst the younger generation. So, you know, these days, all it takes is to have a song on Stranger Things and all of a sudden you're famous again. You know?
There you go. You know, the best part about this whole concert, so it's held outdoors. It is at... St. John's
in Lutheran
East. Yep. Actually, this one is in Ashwaubenon. So we hold this one. This is St. John Lutheran ELCA. It's in Ashwaubenon. Okay. They have a really beautiful, we have 10 partner churches, and they have a really beautiful lawn space. So because of that, all held outside. So, Paul set up a tent. I tried to run the sound, and he took a mic and just ran with it, and it was, I mean, the whole crowd was singing and dancing. And
is this something we get tickets for? How does this go?
It's a free will offering. It's completely
nice.
To show up with a blanket, lawn chairs, and Paul will serenade you.
Yep.
Oh wow.
He does. These city band concerts he's played at, I've seen him sing many, many times. And Paul, thanks for sharing that talent. And this is such a good cause. There's a lot of good causes out there. We just really like what Vanessa's doing and the energy she brings to this organization. And that's nice of you. Are you keeping busy, Paul? I know you are, but tell us you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still, obviously, this is my 20th season. Not obviously, you guys would know that, but I do. It's my 20th season performing with Let Me Be Frank Productions. And so I do a number of the shows. I'm not able to do every show every year. The summers I've been taking off because my day job with Vanda High Landscaping gets quite busy, as you can imagine, during the summer months. And it's also time that I want to be able to spend, you know, with my kiddos and friends and just take a breath. Still performing, doing a lot of shows, a lot of nights at the Meyer Theater with Let Me Be Frank's, you know, working full time with Vanda High, keeping busy, you know, being it's a lot of work being Vanessa's media coach.
Yeah, it is. I bet it is. But we appreciate what you're doing.
You want to talk about somebody, a person you got to carry. I mean,
all right.
Wow.
She talked about carrying you. Anyway, we look forward to your concert on August 21st. Feed My Starving Children.
I'm sure you have.
We'll see you
soon. All right. Thank you, Paul.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.